This is Daniel Vaillant's WWE Network Review, and this is your host, Daniel Vaillant. I'm trying to get to the Raw replay so I could play the music without it being on YouTube, because for some reason when I play music on YouTube, last time I tried to record it, it didn't come out too well. So I'm gonna play the Raw theme, then I'm gonna start talking or re-recording this, this episode. We're gonna talk about the night Scott Hall showed up on Nitro. I'm gonna end it the night after King of the Ring. Okay. Always forget which episodes are which, because there were a lot of times when episodes would start off without music. So I'm going to pause this until I find an episode with the theme. Okay, so, May 27th, 1996, started off with Goldust in the ring, sporting the IC title, probably going, hold it, since this was the night that, Scott Hall first showed up on Nitro. I don't have a clue who Razor Ramon. I mean, I don't have a clue who Goldust could be facing right here. Ultimate Warrior. Now I remember. They wrestled to a double countout in a King of the Ring match, or King of the Ring qualifying match. This was used to build up the Ultimate Warrior versus Jerry Lawler match. And gotta put the mute on to press play. Talking about the beginning of Night Raw, because Like, most of the WWF fans, I mean, most WCW fans only saw Nitro. So, people only who watched WCW only in those days, because they preferred their action as opposed to Vince McMahon's vision of wrestling being more entertainment driven. But in the beginning, and especially this Nitro was even great, but it's even better than before, because you had Ric Flair and Arn Anderson start the show by facing the American Males. I'm positive that the Males lost to the Four Horsemen right here. Covered by Ric Flair, 3 count. On Bagwell, after Bagwell got hit with the DDT, I'm sure of it. Next match, Steve Dahl by the Mauler, is where Scott Hall made his debut by, it's right here, as a matter of fact, the Mauler, I really don't know how to pronounce the name, middle of him picking up, his opponent Steve Dahl and hanging him up on the ropes, which I believe today he would have gotten disqualified for that. That's when Scott Hall was just walking down the steps by the audience, climbed over the guardrail, asked for a microphone, so they ended the match because they didn't, I don't know if they were expecting this. So he cut a promo about the fans know who he is, but they don't know why he's there. And then he started asking, where is billionaire Ted? Where is the Nacho Man? And he went so far as to say how the Nacho Man couldn't get in the building on his own. But he goes where he wants, when he wants. He told the cameraman to tell Ken Doll lookalike, meaning Eric Bischoff, that he'd be out there later on to talk to him. And then DDP hit the diamond cutter on Sergeant Craig Pittman to beat him. Shark lost to the Giant in a world title match. Post-match saw Big Bubba, who was a member of the Dungeon of Doom, cut half of the remaining part of Shark's hair to start a storyline between them. Lex Luger defeated Max to keep the World TV title. Hard Work Bobby Walker lost to Brad Armstrong, I believe. Let me see. No. Inside Cradle by Bobby Walker got the 3 count. No, it's a 2 count. Hold on. Irish Whip by Brad Armstrong. Bobby Walker blocked the hip toss, turned around for an inside or a backslide. 1, 2, kick out. So, just want to see who won the matches. Irish Whip, reversal by Bobby Walker, back body drop. Jumps up to the middle rope, turns around, jumps up. Ooh. Slipped. Gotta jump up, climb up there. Version of an egg breaker. Pixel egg. 2, 3. Lord Steven Regal and Alex Wright up next. This was around the time when they brought in David Taylor, who too is British. So, added him to a group, to the Blue Bloods, went from being a tag team to being a stable-like. So, he was Regal was wearing the Blue Bloods tights where it said Blue Bloods on the back of him. He pushes Alex Wright off of him when Alex Wright was setting up for the monkey flip. He went forward, flipped himself in a pin, so it would be a legal pin. 2-3 wins the match. Scott Steiner and Sting wrestled to a double disqualification. Scott Hall came out. To talk. And he said, Eric, you got such a big mouth and we are sick of it. He said, what do you mean? Who's we? You know who. This is where the big boys play, huh? What a joke, he said. Which is really how he felt about it. He felt like their slogan was cheesy. That's why he picked on it. He said, I'll tell you what. You go tell Billionaire Ted to get three of his very best. Maybe the Nacho Man. He said, oh no. Like, oh yeah, he was mocking the Macho Man's saying. That he said, maybe he get Stinger. And then he said, ooh, I'm so scared. Fortunately, that was all for the show, and he really thought a lot of Sting. So, as I continue doing these episodes, I'll reveal what I mean. Then he said, you go get anybody you want, because we... He said, what do you mean, we? Then he said, we are taking over. You want to go to war? You want a war? You got one. He said, only let's do it right in the ring. He said, not on the microphone. Not in any newspapers or dirt sheets, which I don't know how they had them in those days, but anyway... said, let's do it in the ring where it matters. Said, Billionaire Ted and his big boys, they got any guts? Stepping over the line, Eric said, and he said, Scott Hall finished with, we are coming down here. He said, and like it or not, we are taking over. Walks away. So, we got that out of the way. Let's see. Load a little bit. For the second match on Raw, Ted DiBiase wanted one more shot at Ringmaster he wanted Ringmaster to have one more shot against Savio Vega in the Caribbean strap match, because the fans couldn't see it because of the rain destroying the wires and everything. So he put up his career on the line, saying if Stunning Steve Austin loses, Ringmaster loses, he would leave. Smoking Guns, who were the new Royal Tag Team Champions, this time with Sonny in their corner, went against the Body Donnas, who used to have Sonny as a manager. Let me see who jumped off. It was Zip. For a crossbody, momentum let Bart go over him. 2-3. He even hooked the leg to ensure the victory. Of course, Sunny, all she cared about was the titles. So there was no loyalty with her. That's why she, before she went with the, before she went with the Smoking Guns and sissified them, she was with the Godwins. Before she was with the Godwins, who were the champions, she was with the Body Nanas. So there was no, there was no loyalty, so she went wherever the titles were. That's why she was with them. Well, that's why she stayed with them. But it started out where Billy Gunn kissed her, so she made it look like it was because of that. But it was just because that's where the, it's because they had the titles. Okay, the next match, in a qualifying match for the King of the Ring tournament, Ahmed Johnson hit Vader with the, with probably a spine buster. And when Owen Hart was doing commentary, he jumped off top rope and the referee was trying to tell Cornette to get off the apron or stop bothering him. And he hit, jumped off the top rope. He was wearing a cast on his right arm, so he hit Ahmed Johnson over the neck with it, knocked him out. Vader got the pinfall. Goldust, to really show how they went too far with this character, Goldust, they had him do, in the old days we call this mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, but when you saw that, it looked like another thing, and because he was not like that, he got all mad, and he, I think the old fashioned word we use would call it ballistic. He went ballistic because he doesn't do that. That led up to next, that led to them having a match against each other down the line. Don't really know right away what the rest of it was. But June 3rd, which is the next episode of Nitro and Raw, let me just look up the Raw results instead of going back and forth. Okay. The next, the second week of the beginning of the invasion, John Tenta came out and said he was no longer Shark because he's a person. And his name is John Tenta. And he said that because people see, every time he walks out of his house, people can see half of his head shaved. So he was going to keep that head shaved or cut off so that he's reminded of what Bubba did. Somehow, they had, I think they kept hair like that in a bag, like WWE did back in 2005, when they cut Big Show's head off. Big Show said he did this. Big Show said he would keep his head shaved because he wanted to remind himself of what Kurt Angle did. And they had put his hair in Ziploc bags to show that they wanted to remember also. So somehow all of the hair that they cut off of Officer John Tenta's head fell on the mat. He took scissors to cut John Bubba's beard, so John Bubba got out of the ring. And he stayed out there until referee counted to 10. Actually, I think he was walking to the back. High Voltage, Ruckus, and Chaos went against Faces of Fear. But first, let's see what happened on a. On Raw. June 3rd, 1996. Showed up. It started with, in Fayetteville, North Carolina, a King of the Ring qualifying match. Steve Austin defeated Bob Holly with the Million Dollar Dream. And he was still known as the Ringmaster, I believe. Actually, by this time, he had been called Stone Cold already. So the second match for Nitro, the Faces of Fear beat High Voltage. The second match for Monday Night Raw, Barry Horowitz lost to Mankind. After the bout, Jim Ross interviewed Mankind at ringside, but I believe it was more confusing than the Ultimate Warriors interviews were. Because I think in some ways we understood what that character was about. But aside from being deranged, there really was not much to go for Mankind. That's why he eventually had to debut a new character that he already invented before he was even in wrestling. An alter ego, that's what it's called. He brought in his alter ego from when he was a younger man into his character later on. So anyway, earlier in Raw, Gorilla Monsoon said, by virtue of what, not virtue, but as a result, what happened between Ahmed Johnson and Goldust the week before, Goldust would be defending the Intercontinental title against Ahmed Johnson at the King of the Ring pay-per-view. Also, they even had an announcement that Shawn Michaels and Davey Boy Smith would face each other again at the King of the Ring for the heavyweight title. Also, Vince McMahon conducted, whereas Mankind's interview was confusing, any interview with Goldust is just bizarre, so I'm not even going to talk about that. And also, they featured Clarence Mason calling in, stating that even though the lawsuit against Shawn Michaels was thrown out, he plans to sue Gorilla Monsoon for aggravated assault and battery, which, if I'm not mistaken, if he would have done that in reality, that made him the biggest, wimp in the WWF outside of his associate Jim Cornette. So, third match on Nitro, Disco Inferno losing to Sergeant Craig Pittman. I know he lost because he didn't really win a match until about, say, he didn't win a match against somebody like this until at least 97 or 98, if I'm not mistaken. Because it took him that long to get a finisher of any kind. He submitted before Sergeant Craig Pittman even put the code red on him. Next match, Jim Duggan went against Lord Steven Regal. Clothesline by Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Took 2x4. Oh, David Taylor coming around to grab the 2x4. They forgot about Jim Duggan's tape in his tight. Mistake Duggan made was hitting Bobby Eaton instead of letting Regal get up. At that time, he gets rolled up by Steven Regal, pulls the tights 2 and 3, and beats Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Prince Iaukea loses to Kevin Sullivan. Rock and Roll Express lose to Arn Anderson and Ric Flair. I believe Ric Flair made Ricky Martin submit to the figure four. So, okay. Nitro always had a stacked card full of matches. But Raw, at one point, the only thing that was stacked were the segments. Okay, DDT to Ricky Morton by Arn Anderson. So it was a pinfall, 2-3, to that won the match. That's how they beat the Rock and Roll Express. So, rest of matches on Raw were Techno Team 2000 losing to the Godwins, and Jake the Snake Roberts beating Hunter Hearst Helmsley with the DDT to qualify for the King of the Ring. Also, Ice Train lost to the Giant in a heavyweight title match. Scott Norton versus Hugh Morris. If Hugh Morris won this, then I'd say it was a slap in the face to Scott Norton, literally and figuratively. Actually, it's just figuratively. Scott Norton's tougher than Hugh Morris, I can tell you that. One, two, three. When Hugh Morris went for the moonsault off the top rope, he pushed Hugh Morris down. Then he hit him a few times, the forearm over the chest to beat him. Then in the main event, Luger, this time it was for a title match, Luger and Sting defending against the Steiner Brothers. I believe it was for the titles. And that ended in a double disqualification, if I'm not mistaken. Then, it ended, it was more like no contest because of the Giant getting involved. Sting officially challenged, I believe he challenged Scott Hall right here. So, he slapped Scott Hall, and then Scott Hall said, "Next week, I got a big surprise for you." June 10th, first of all, I think, I would, need to check out the, Great American Bash of 96 to see what date that was. It was not too long ago I had recorded this and watched the actual pay-per-view itself so that I could talk about it. But I don't remember the date. So we gotta look back at 1996 Great American Bash. It was June 16th. So it was one more week of Raw versus Nitro, and then you look at the Great American Bash. First thing, Owen Hart versus Yokozuna. Owen Hart won that, I believe. To qualify for the King of the Ring, he not only pinned Yokozuna, got 1 foot on the rope. Then Mark Mero beat Skip to qualify for the King of the Ring. Top Rope Frankensteiner used to use this in WCW, but I don't know what they called it. That's how he won the match. Okay. Then in the main event, British Bulldog versus The Undertaker. Okay, Bulldog won by countout when Mankind pulled Undertaker's leg, held onto it from underneath the ring, and we had no idea he was even there. That was what was perfect about it. Also, they featured an in-ring interview that night. The Ultimate Warrior, between Warrior and Lawler, in which Lawler attempted to apologize for costing Warrior the match against Goldust weeks before that, and offering a drawing of the Warrior as a present. Warrior said, "I can appreciate the hard work you put into the drawing and the drawing itself, but it doesn't change the fact I'm going to kick your..." But at King of the Ring. And he didn't say anything back. Being the coward that he was, he let Warrior turn around and he hit him on the back of the head with the frame. They also featured that night Cornette announcing that the lawsuit against Gorilla Monsoon had been dropped in exchange for his group of men being able to choose the referee for the title match at the King of the Ring. Okay. The Nitro, same night. this was the night that Kevin Nash showed up at the end. Got Steiner versus Booker T. See if Booker T hits the... Okay, he went for a splash, missed it. Belly back suplex on Booker T, 2, 3. That's how that match ended. Diamond Dallas Page beat Jim Powers with the Diamond Cutter. Sting versus Ming. Ended with Ming submitting to the Scorpion Deathlock. Hacksaw Jim Duggan went against Squire David Taylor. David Taylor hit him with the right hand. Probably had something in his hand that we couldn't see. Even hit him with an uppercut. Actually, take that back. He's tougher than he looked. When he moved out of the way, when Hacksaw ran after him in the corner, he forgot that about Hacksaw's habit of pulling tape out. So when Duggan was taping up his fist, he got overconfident and he did the peace sign. I don't know what they call it in Britain, but anyway, he gets hit, right hand covered, and he lost the match. Scott Norton versus the Giant world title match, lost by a choke slam. Billy Kidman versus Steven Regal. This is the first time they show Kidman. No. This is like the second time they show Kidman. He went for a 450 splash, but he missed it. I'm not even sure what kind of suplex to call it. But he ended up hitting him with a version of a belly to belly suplex. Then he made him submit to a version of the Boston Crab, and Sting came out to help him. The Kidman, that is. Nasty Boys versus Public Enemy. Johnny Grunge hit Brian Knobs off the top rope with his cast. Rocco Rock covered him. Still didn't win the match. So that's a surprise right there. Rocker Rock goes to the top rope, gets pushed off by Jerry Sags, or he gets hit with a trash can or a lid, and so they get disqualified. That Public Enemy wins. Then Luger and Sting went against Flair and Anderson. Giant interrupts this match going after Luger. Then Kevin Nash came, and after a few minutes of talking, Eric said, You wanna meet with me this Wednesday? I'll be at the office. I'll go and meet with y'all." And that was the end of that episode. However, 6 nights was Great American Bash. So that's how they would That's actually how they, that's actually the most important part of the pay-per-view outside of the main event. Was them talking to Eric Bischoff. See, first off, Steiner Brothers defeated Fire and Ice with Ry Strain and Scott Norton. Conan, who was the U.S. Heavyweight Champion, successfully defended the title against El Gato. DDP defeated Marcus Alexander Bagwell in a match for the Lord of the Ring that he won back at Battle Bowl. Or in a match that for the Battle Bowl ring that Diamond Dallas Page won. And also, Dean Malenko was Cruiserweight Champion. Successfully defended the Cruiserweight title against Rey Mysterio Jr. John Tenta defeated Big Bubba Rogers. Chris Benoit defeated Kevin Sullivan in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Sting defeated Lord Steven Regal by a submission. And Anderson and Flair beat Kevin Green and Steve McMichael when Steve McMichael was handed a briefcase with a bunch of money and a horseman shirt by his wife at the time, Deborah. And he said, he automatically, after seeing the money, he took the briefcase, hit Kevin Green over the neck with it, let Ric Flair pin him, put on the horseman shirt, brand new horseman. So the next night on Nitro, start off the show, Stevie Ray and Rick Steiner. Stevie Ray went for, I think it was a flying forearm or something, and he missed it because Rick Steiner moved out the way. Got Steiner lined, which was a clothesline from Rick Steiner, and he gets pinned by Rick Steiner, and that leads to a fight between both teams till they go to commercial. The next match was Joe Gomez against Disco Inferno. Two jobbers, but Joe Gomez, sure, when he went against, he ended up going against Steve McMichael in Steve McMichael's first singles match. Sure was a very good wrestler. And he actually looked more capable than Disco Inferno. Disco Inferno made a nonchalant cover in the middle of the second count. He got caught by Joe Gomez, and Joe Gomez rolled him up in a, actually, I believe we call it a crucifix pin. And he lost. So, let's see what happened on Raw. June 17th, 1996. Steve Austin in a quarterfinal match for the King of the Ring defeated Savio Vega. In another quarterfinal match, Mark Mero defeated Owen Hart. Hunter Hearst Helmsley fought Aldo Montoya to a no contest when Lawler attacked Aldo before Helmsley made his entrance. Moments thereafter, Lawler hit Montoya with the pile driver, and Jake the Snake Roberts came out to make the save. So let's see. Four Horsemen versus the American Males, which were actually Benoit and Arn Anderson. Benoit looked like he hit like a powerbomb on Riggs, got the pinfall victory. Big Bubba went against John Tenta next. Big Bubba got caught and body slammed for the one, two, no. John didn't want to just win. I think he wanted to cut his hair or his beard or something. Oh, okay. Wanted to do it one more time. One, two, three. And somehow he even felt the need to put his feet on the ropes to ensure that he won. Okay. And Jake the Snake Roberts, first he lost the gold dust, and not even sure what this was for. Then after the referee could see that Jake was hit with gold flakes by gold dust, he reversed his decision, so Jake the Snake Roberts won. Earlier, first off, let me say this. Moments after that, Jake the Snake hit the DDT on Goldust. So, other segments were footage of Brian Pillman signing his WWF contract. They showed a footage from a recent house show in which Jim Ross was interviewing Davey Boy Smith in the ring before Shawn Michaels came out, and the two had to be held apart by officials and fellow wrestlers. I remember that. My mom had to fast-forward that part of the tape of the show the next day after school. Then they included a closing segment in which Jim Cornette announced that the referee they chose for the heavyweight title match was Mr. Perfect. Okay, right before the next Raw Nitro, okay, going back, the next match for Mysterio Jr. against Dean Malenko, probably for the Cruiserweight title. Dean Malenko kicked out of a roll-up by Rey Mysterio Jr. Okay. Next time pinfall happened, it's two count only by, and it was Rey Mysterio turned could have been a body slam into pinfall or crossbody. It's like he found a way just to go forward on him and into a pinfall position. Dean Malenko hit a backwards DDT on Rey Mysterio and won the match. Main event, Scott Steiner lost to the Giant in a heavyweight title match. Actually, Scott Steiner got himself disqualified by breaking a wooden chair over the giant. Or he should have called for the bell, but he didn't. He slid the Giant continue. Giant won with the chokeslam. 2-3. This was the first night, I believe, that Tony Schiavone called the entire Nitro by himself, instead of it just being the second hour of Nitro. So let's see. Ric Flair had an interview segment and then the show ended. Oh, I'm sorry. Ric Flair was not spoken to. They just announced who the three men that were going to go against the Outsiders and their third man were. Sting, Lex Luger, Macho Man, Randy Savage. The King of the Ring, six nights after that, the actual semifinals, Stone Cold Steve Austin defeated Mark Mero after hitting hitting the stunner. Come to find out, the original stunner wasn't a kick to the stomach or chest and then go down on your, and then you put your opponent's jaw over your bicep. No, originally he just put it down, but he got smarter about it, and then he realized it's more effective to kick him first. Okay, so then Jake Roberts defeated Vader in the second semifinal match after Vader got himself disqualified. Then, Ultimate Warrior defeated Jerry Lawler. Hold on. Before that match, the Smoking Guns defeated the Godwins to keep tag team titles. The Ultimate Warrior defeated Jerry Lawler. Mankind defeated The Undertaker after Paul Bearer. Paul Bearer purposely hit The Undertaker with the urn. So that was a real interesting part of this story. Goldust lost the Intercontinental title to Ahmed Johnson. And Stone Cold Steve Austin, this was when he, unfortunately, because nobody ever heard of this before, when he mocked the Bible, which he never should have done that, even if Jake the Snake, which he did, him mentioning God and Jesus giving him strength to overcome anything, that's no reason to come against that when it's very important. In the main event, Jake the Snake Roberts won King of the Ring, then he cut that infamous promo that he ended up getting merchandised off of. Then he said that there were a certain group of people he wanted to face, and he said he was fixed, he was ready to go through the list one by one. Then in the main event for the heavyweight title match, I don't know what happened. I guess because Gorilla Monsoon didn't trust Mr. Perfect to be impartial, so he took him from special inside referee to a special outside enforcer. So Shawn Michaels defeated British Bulldog to keep the heavyweight title. They were claiming that because Mr. Perfect didn't count to three along with the referee, then it shouldn't matter. But it matters. The actual referee inside the ring has the final say. So they were really just doing what Cornette always did, whining over things that he didn't need to. So, let's see. Okay, it's not an hour yet. Good. That means I have enough time to talk about Raw for the night after. So, this was the night that the Outsiders came over the guardrail with baseball bats. And, started off where the Blue Bloods went against Public Enemy. Okay, I believe they lost to the Public Enemy because Nick Patrick didn't see David Taylor get hit with Johnny Grunge's cast from his right hand. So the next match, so first night match on Raw was the new Intercontinental Champion Ahmed Johnson defeating Hunter Hearst Helmsley. And he said on the microphone after the match that thank you for the congratulations being the first ever African-American Intercontinental Champion, but wanted everybody out there to know it wasn't just for African-Americans, it was for everybody that might be at a disadvantage for any reason. And he wants them to know he's championing not just for that title, but for everybody who has any disability of any kind or disadvantage. Next match, Skip and Zip beat Brooklyn Brawler and Jerry Fox. Taskmaster versus Kip AB went to a no contest because he took the match to the... He went from in the ring to through the audience and in the backstage with the condiments like ketchup and all that stuff, and then he had put his head against the part of the bathroom, outside of the bathroom, the part on the wall that shows what gender it is. So he put his face completely against the man side, the man sign, and completely got disqualified. So, next match, Dean Malenko versus Hard Work Bobby Walker. He won with the Texas Cloverleaf, if I'm not mistaken. Monkey flip to Bobby Walker. Walker kept on wondering what the heck is Disco Inferno doing when he climbed in the middle of the rope to dance. Then he was, when he landed on his feet in the middle of a monkey flip, he asked himself, what the heck are you doing? Then he got drop kicked against Disco, knocked him out of the ring. Okay, so it wasn't the Texas Cloverleaf, it was the Northern Light Suplex that won the match. Okay. Barbarian versus Eddie Guerrero is next. Eddie Guerrero beat Barbarian. Superplex by Barbarian, it looked like, but Eddie switched it into crossbody in midair and beat him with the 3 count. Rock and Roll Express versus, oh no, not even versus, just in tag team action. Against Arn Anderson and Chris Benoit this time, okay. And this was really good because Chris Benoit really did need some guidance as far as what WCW was all about. And he had Steve McMichael to play off of, so it helped him even more. I don't know if this is going to go through. I'm going to try my best. Steve McMichael hit Robert Gibson with the briefcase. 1, 2, 3, the Horseman win. Okay. What I was gonna say was, in real life, Chris Benoit had always spoke about when, as a part of this group, he always looked up to Arn Anderson as a wrestler and as a talker. So that's what really helped him a lot before Steve McMichael came aboard. So it was great. So it was really great that to see them team up like this, because that was somebody who really helped him out a lot and somebody that could really help him, period. Okay. Next match, Alex Shrive versus Diamond Dallas Page. I don't know what it was, but Alex Shrive just never could connect to the audience the way that Diamond Dallas Page could, so that's why Page would win most of these matches, if not all of them. Plus, he had a move that he had perfected to where you knew it was going to be over. Diamond Cutter. Hit him right there in the middle of it. Middle of going for the German suplex. All he had to do was block it and go for the Diamond Cutter. And that was why I believe he got so popular, and this was before he was even a babyface. Okay, there's the sign of the Diamond Cutter again. Next match was Macho Man Randy Savage against VK Wall Street. D. McMichael threw VK Wall Street in the ring to keep him from leaving. Body slam by Randy Savage. Point to the stars, and then the elbow drop. 1, 2, 3. In Harlem Heat, Steiner and Luger had that triangle title match. The middle of the Outsiders walking down the audience, so when it looked like Luger was going for the finish, when they got climbed over the guardrail with the baseball bats, was when Booker T rolled up Lex Luger so that there would be definitive finish and they won the titles back. This could have been their sixth reign, I'm not really sure. They talk about a few things before they go off the air. And, that's it for Nitro. Vader, Owen Hart, and Davey Boy Smith beat Aldo Montoya, Savio Vega, and Barry Horowitz when Montoya submitted to the sharpshooter. Cornette did guest commentary for this match. The Undertaker defeated Stone Cold Steve Austin by disqualification when Goldust, who came ringside moments earlier along with Marlena to do guest commentary, he interfered. So that's how those shows ended. This was supposed to be from the beginning, from May 27th until June 24th. So I'll just end right here. Thank you and goodbye. Hello, this is Daniel Vaillant with Body Slam, a look at WWE Network. Okay, it started talking about Eric Bischoff joining WWF in 2002. That was in July, I believe. when I think that, yeah, this is exactly whenever Bischoff, had showed up the first time as the, and was announced as the GM of Raw. Okay, started out in the first match was an elimination six-man tag team match. Between Guerrero and Benoit and Regal, and two-thirds of the Dudleys and Jeff Hardy. Dudleys were Bubba Ray and Spike Dudley, and then Jeff Hardy was the third member of the team. First person to be eliminated was Spike Dudley by Eddie Guerrero. Bubba Ray Dudley got disqualified. Jeff Hardy eliminated Regal and Eddie Guerrero. And then Chris Benoit eliminated Jeff Hardy. So Benoit, Guerrero, and Regal won the match by Chris Benoit, last eliminating Jeff Hardy. There you have it. Tommy Dreamer defeated Steven Richards in a Singapore Kane match. I believe right before Booker T went against the Big Show was when when Bischoff was announced as the new GM of Raw. So before that announcement happened, in a women's tag team match, in a women's title match, the champion Molly Holly defeated Trish Stratus to keep the women's title. And, now when I started this recording, I didn't realize that I was gonna have to, press play on an episode, because I didn't know what to talk about at first. Now that I know what to talk about, I'm going to have to press play, but first, keep it on mute until we get to the part I need to press the sound for. Okay. Right, I had to plug in the controller for the PlayStation 4. Now that it's 100%, I can use it to as a sit down. Okay. So I just started looking at the videos. Pretty sure that this episode's not on the continue watching section. You're gonna have to go back to 2002 and find it. As I look through these episodes, as you always have to go from the end to the beginning. So as I look at these, it reminds me that, what does it remind me of? It reminds me of how they used to do a best of the beginning of, at the end of the year for New Year's, and they don't do anything like that. And I'm just wondering why. And, I accidentally went too far back. So that's why I didn't press sound yet, but I found it exactly where I needed it to be. Gonna put it gotta lower it to make sure it's not too loud. Then press play. And then press play, it just did it.
Thank you.
Okay, now we got what he said out of the way, because I never thought before. After he did that, the next match was Booker T beating the Big Show by disqualification. Bradshaw was the hardcore champion, went against Christopher Nowinski, and that ended in a no contest for the hardcore title, and Lesnar and The Undertaker with Paul Heyman defeated Ric Flair and Rob Van Dam in the main event. And it was interesting when Ric Flair spoke about this about 2 or 3 years ago, that as intimidating as Brock Lesnar was, he said how easy it was to work with him. He said how he was very intimidating, but he twirled him around, and he was very careful with him. So careful that that Ric Flair, it was like he'd even throw him around. So he was very smooth. Next, on SmackDown, Jericho, I think, got himself disqualified against John Cena. He was brand new in John Cena, but a lot of people, including myself, had no idea about was that he could actually do a lot of wrestling holds instead of just 5. Like, I saw him go for a drop kick right here, traditional one, and the way he jumped up for it was perfect, so it's really surprising. Then he went for an Oklahoma roll. He kicked out Chris Jericho. So that showed that he knew more than I expected him to, because I was used to him rapping and all that stuff. So that really shows how it was more showed how he, I think when he found what worked for him, he forgot all about the maneuvers he already knew, and he forgot how to do them. And it's just interesting. Jericho hit him in between the legs, got disqualified, put the balls of Jericho on him, probably tried to teach him a lesson. That was probably what he was trying to do. I think even John Laurinaitis even got in the ring there to pull him off of Cena, along with the referees. Next match, Chavo Guerrero Jr. beat Hurricane, and he's talking about how everybody's making a big deal about Rey Mysterio Jr. He said everywhere he looked, everybody would be telling him, he's coming. He said, he's not, I'm sick of it. He said, I'm here right now, so when, say, is that next week? Right here on SmackDown? Right, he said, Mysterio makes his big in-ring debut against me. But this time he already dropped the junior part of his name, like Rey Mysterio did. So, just for a little bit, Eric Bischoff showed up, talked to meet all the new stars. He even spoke to Hulk Hogan. And because he was looking for The Rock and Triple H, specifically Triple H was who he wanted to hire, as he just said, or was who he wanted to sign to Raw, he was very disappointed, actually angry, with all the people that Eric was negotiating with outside of himself, instead of him being the first person. They even had a sit-down interview with The Undertaker and Michael Cole about the Triple Threat match that he's going to be in at pay-per-view after this. Between himself, The Rock, and Kurt Angle. Chokeslammed The Rock, by the way, he was undisputed champion by this time. Undertaker was. He said that the Sunday he could expect, I could expect to see his wrath more than anything. Kurt Angle ended up beating him, and this was the time that, you know, 4 weeks before that, he, because of Triple H's not really interference, it's more like a distraction, he was able to get rolled up and beaten by Kurt Angle. This was the time when Kurt Angle's head was shaved by Hogan, and he wore a wig underneath a headgear. Hilarious stuff. Then 2 weeks ago, Kurt Angle submitted to Triangle Choke by, I think that's what it's called, to Kurt Angle. He said that if they had he and Angle had 1,000 matches, 1,000 days consecutively, Kurt could not make him tap. The bottom line is, he stacked him up and he pinned him 1, 2, 3. And at the end of it, he tapped out just to get him to. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. He just wants him to let go, so he made him think he submitted to him. It'd be a great psychology. But if anything else would have happened that night, would not be the Undisputed Champion, nor would I have the title with my name on it. It would say Kurt Angle. So I don't know what his problem is, but Sunday Vengeance, we are going to get a lot of things straight. One thing being the beating The Rock and Kurt Angle, both are going to find out why I am the American Bad Blank. Why that ring over there is my yard. So the next match, Billy and Chuck against Hardcore Holly and, could it be, Val Venus? Well, Billy Gunn literally ran right into the Alabama Slam for Val to hit the boom. Money shot, 1, 2, 3. Rikishi, Edge, Hulk Hogan went against Lance Storm, Christian, and Tess. Hogan was about to go for the leg drop, hit with version of a backwards DDT by Christian. Christian gets hit with a spear by his, quote, brother Edge. That Storm gets caught when he went for a super kick execution on that Storm. 1, 2, 3. They went. Edge, Hogan, and Rikishi. Billy Kidman against Tajiri. Billy Kidman hit a BK bomb on Tajiri to set it up for the Shooting Star Press. 1, 2, 3. Then the main event, Kurt Angle against The Rock. Undertaker is getting involved. Let's see. Backed it up to where it looked like The Rock was going for his finisher. I mean, he was, but let's see what happens. Undertaker interfered, so it was disqualification. Back and forth. Okay, Kurt Angle obviously put the ankle lock on both men. He's the only one standing in the ring. After the six-man tag team match, let's see what happened right there. This is when Vince McMahon announces the GM for SmackDown. Before Vince got down to the SmackDown general manager was made it clear to everybody between both brands, you think it's better on the other show, you're free to negotiate with the general manager of both shows, whoever is on both shows at the time. And Stephanie ends up introducing his daughter Stephanie. So this is the first time I think they put her in a suit. I wonder how many people wondering how many people in real life or in the character were thinking that it might be better to have Bischoff as a GM than Stephanie. So all the times they had to go through, they had to put up with her and Triple H, or her and she and her brother Shane McMahon. And it's about the characters, of course, not the real people. I wonder how many people were thinking about all the times they messed with them or made their life a living HE double hockey sticks. She's entered the microphone, so I want to hear what she has to say. Had to say. By the way, they might be bringing forms of this era back, so I'm hoping it's not the dirty stuff, but the stuff that's unpredictable, because this is great. This is great TV. Okay. So my next topic for this will be pay-per-view after this. So I'll send it right here. And goodbye.